Portland International Film Festival, which begins February 5th with a screening of Wild Tales at the Fox Tower and continuing through February 21st at many locations all over Portland. This year's festival brings over 150 films from around the globe to the Portland metro area. Again, that's the 38th annual Portland International Film Festival, running through February 21st. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Wondering what to do for Valentine's Day? Sword fights, tap dancing, prizes, and a talent show are just a few of the exciting acts you'll see at this year's KBOO benefit, Contessa de la Luna's Valentine Spectacular. Don't miss this annual event that is sure to delight and amaze your eyes and ears. Let La Contessa entertain you Thursday, February 12, 2015, at the Clinton Street Theater. This is the perfect Valentine date night. Show starts at 7 p.m. That's Thursday, February 12th, 7 p.m., Clinton Street Theater. Tickets available now. Go to kboo.fm/talent show.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess, and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Out Loud here on KBOO. We've got a great show for you, as always. In the control booth, we have Boston. Boston's going to be taking care of next week's show. Boston, what are you going to have on the air for us?
Well, next week, I'm going to be interviewing a good buddy, Michael Horwitz, local artist and talented person. So, very excited.
Yeah, so are we. All right, good. Mm-hmm. So that's next week. Let's see, what's happening? Q Center had its first town hall on Sunday. There's a lot to sort out there. They've got a new interim board, and they have a lot of, in particular, I think they have a lot of questions to answer about how to sustain Q Center financially. So more town halls are coming up, and I think there's lots of opportunity to get involved in helping to figure out what should happen next and how to make that happen. There's also an online survey about what folks think Q Center should or shouldn't be in the future, and that's open until February 15th. And where to find it online, I don't know off the top of my head. So give the Q Center a call and see where that survey is, and you can get more information. There's also a packet they distributed at Sunday's Town Hall that gives a sort of a brief, a primer on where Q Center is at financially right now. So that's sort of was a lot of the energy in this town hall. It was a packed room, so it was nice to see folks show up. We've got a great show tonight in the studio. I have with me Alexis Page and Jackson Darlin. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi. Later, Later in the second half of the show, we're going to have Amy Hertzfeld, who works with Basic Rights Oregon, to give us a sense of where the organization is at and where it's headed. But Alexis and Jackson, welcome. Alexis, you're with Cascade AIDS Project.
Yes, I am.
And Jackson, you are?
I'm with a brand new project called the Free Transgender, Genderqueer, and Intersex Clinic, and it's a collaboration of providers.
Very exciting. So, Alexis, let's start with you. Mm-hmm. We have, there's a healthcare and insurance enrollment fair coming up very soon. Is that correct?
Yes. The Cascade AIDS Project will be putting on one last healthcare enrollment fair for the open enrollment time period. We're calling it Love Your Health with CAP, and that's actually going to be taking place at Floyd's Coffee. And it's actually going to be a pretty amazing, great event. We're also got all sorts of prizes and things like that we're going to be giving out to people. To be able to be entered to have a chance to win a prize, you need to go on Facebook and RSVP. And again, just search Love Your Health with CAP and you'll find the event.
Uh-huh. Fabulous. Now, that sign up is for CARE Oregon under the Affordable Care Act. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's for the federal marketplace, which is for any healthcare, health insurance enrollment. So for some people, that would be the Oregon Health Plan or Medicaid, as many people know of it. And for others, that would be private insurance. In either case, though, so many people are eligible for discounts. If I remember right, it is if you're making less than about $48,000 a year, you should be eligible for at least some sort of discount on your health insurance premium. And for a single person, if you're making less than $16,000 a year, you should be eligible for Medicaid so that your health care will be free for you. And those numbers are also even higher for families, you know.
So is there we're talking about insurance for the year 2015. It's a 1 year sign up. Is that right?
It is the 1 year sign up and open enrollment, which not sure if everyone's heard about. There's probably been a lot of advertising stuff going on with that. Is the time period that's been set up by the Affordable Care Act and the federal government in which people can choose to get health insurance, to renew their current health insurance, or to change their health insurance plans. And if you actually do not enroll or renew your insurance by February 15th, you will not be able to, with very few exceptions throughout the rest of the year. And this could be very important because if you don't have insurance, even if there's something happens, you get into a car accident, your health just takes a turn for the worse, you're not going to be able to sign up for insurance. You're not going to be able to get any help paying those bills. And like I said, there's very few exceptions that would allow someone to be able to get covered. Mm-hmm. And even more than just that, because I know there's a lot of people who can kind of like put aside the health care and health insurance. There is now a fine associated with not having some form of health care. And a lot of people will probably see that as they're doing their taxes this year if they didn't have health insurance. This year, it's very small what a lot of people are going to be seeing, around about $100. But if you do not have health insurance through 2015, when you do your taxes next year, the fine is actually going to be much bigger. It will be $325 or 2% of your total income per person in your household, whichever is greater.
So even more reason to get signed up.
Yeah, and just at that point, you could be looking at several hundred dollars in a fine to the IRS if you didn't have insurance. And those fines are actually going to continue going up each and every year from this point on.
Mm-hmm. So just to bring home that point again, February 15th is the deadline.
Yes, and on February 15th is the deadline to get signed up. On February 14th, we will be having our Love Your Health with CAP health insurance fair. It will be the last chance of the year for many people to get signed up from it. And definitely, even if you just have questions, if you're not sure if, you know, your health insurance currently counts for not getting the fine, if you're not sure if like you have Medicaid but you don't know if you need to renew it, any of those things, you can stop by, you can ask questions. If you go onto Facebook and you RSVP for the event, which again, that was Love Your Health with CAP, then you'll automatically be entered into a raffle to win a number of different prizes on the actual fair there on the 14th. And some of those are like free admittance for two into the Japanese gardens, or and there's also a $50 gift card for Pazzo's Italian restaurant that you could get. Just, you know, we're going to have even more prizes, other things. They're kind of all keeping to this Valentine's Day sort of romance date feel, you know.
That's good. I'm going to ask you a question that I have no idea whether you know the answer to, but somebody somewhere will. So the taxes, to do the taxes, you know, for 2014 for yourself, if you've been getting insurance through the Affordable Care Act, is complicated and it's new. And do you know of anybody who's organizing sort of help sessions around that?
I know that there's the various paid places that people can go to get assistance. There's also the Q Center. I'm not sure if it's started yet, but they do this every year where they offer free tax assistance, where they have professionals who will be there who can help you go over all those changes, help you fill out, you know, any of the new forms you need, anything to do with that and that extra stuff to do with doing your taxes this year. Mm-hmm. And I think definitely if people are concerned or worried, it'd be great to contact the Q Center and you'd be able to find out more about that.
Wonderful. Jackson, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Tell us what you're up to.
Well, I am working with my business, Spectrum Well Body and Birth, and the Equi Institute and Dr. Angela Carter at Sacred Vessel National or Natural Medicine, and also Jules Moon at Turning Tides Midwifery, to provide free of cost healthcare to trans folks, people who identify as genderqueer or are intersexed. And one of the reasons we're doing that is because people in any of those categories tend to have lack of insurance or be underinsured or have a difficult time accessing healthcare because of both their gender identities or their the way that their physical bodies are, but also because they might have other things that make it difficult for them to access healthcare. So we're mostly doing preventative screening, and that includes PAP testing, blood draws to get lab work for hemoglobin A1Cs, and other kinds of routine preventative care. We can also provide referrals for people to get care for hormone assistance and gender affirming transition related care too.
Wonderful.
Can you hear me? Oh, no, I can hear.
Okay, we're having a little bit of mic problems. So if you can recap that for us, I'd be grateful.
Yeah, it's a collaborative effort between several providers who are providing a holistic, client-centered model of care to get routine preventative screening, health screening, including lab work, STI screening, PAP testing, and also making sure that people can get referrals to people who can do gender-affirming hormone assistance or do other kinds of follow-up care if they have more in-depth health needs around, say, diabetes or high blood pressure or anything else that they might have delayed care on because of a lack of access to care. And we're working with Cascade AIDS Project during those clinic hours so that people can get signed up for OHP on site. And I think they're also, our next clinic day is February 15th from 11 to 6, and people can just drop by at ASHA Integrative Wellness and get signed up for insurance last day of the deadline. So
wonderful. So how often is the clinic providing this sort of care?
We just kicked off our first clinic day in mid-January, and we have been doing it most of the Sundays since then. I think we're going to go down to once a month. Right now, all of our funding is just through people's insurance and also donations to cover the labs. We're hoping to write some grants to cover more labs and get more providers on board so that we can do it more frequently, because we've been full every clinic day. People really need this care.
Absolutely. So where is the clinic hours being held?
We're doing it at ASHA Integrative Wellness in the Sacred Vessel offices, and that's in pretty close in Northeast, so 2100 Northeast Broadway. Mm-hmm. And it's been Sundays from 11 to 6, and we would hope to be able to do regular business hours eventually.
That's wonderful. So, Jackson, give us another look at the kinds of services that folks can expect to hope to find during clinic hours.
Yeah, we just do a thorough health history intake. People come in, they can tell us about kind of what their background is, and then we individualize their care to them. So most people haven't had a physical in years, and we've been offering physicals and chest exams to screen for cancer, pap testing to screen for cancer, STI testing. We can also do lab work. And then we've also done a lot of just like lifestyle counseling around nutrition and support for mental health and community resource access. So we've been directing people to Pivot and to CAP and to giving referrals for therapists and support groups, and just making sure people know where they can access all kinds of healthcare, not just preventative health screening, because all of those things make up the health of our communities.
Indeed. So that's a pretty exciting development in care for the trans and gender variant community here in Portland. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're really stoked to be able to do it.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've actually been at the last two clinic days, and it's been absolutely amazing to be there. It's been amazing to see everyone who's there. They're working so very hard. I mean, these are people who are choosing to be working 6 days a week to be able to provide these services, and they're doing it completely out of kindness and out of a realization of a need to have this care available for people, and more than that, to have culturally competent care mm-hmm. where people can go to and they can feel comfortable. And it's especially important for, you know, transgender, gender nonconforming, intersex people who might not be used to that, might not be used to going to a doctor, might not feel comfortable being able to talk about their bodies, to talk about their health issues free of any sort of discrimination or negative opinion of them. And that's something that they can find there at this clinic, which is on 2100 Northeast Broadway Street. And it's absolutely amazing. Besides just that, you know, and why I've been there is, like Jackson said, CAP has been there helping people with health insurance enrollment, and specifically enrollment in Medicaid. And even after the February 15th deadline is passed, we will still be able to be there. We'll still be able to help out. We can talk to people. We can talk to people about if there's ways for them to still be eligible for Medicaid, if there's ways for them to still get on after that open enrollment period. And we're also looking into the thoughts of possibly even expanding more services to be able to help out with the clinic.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Jackson, how do folks, do they need to make an appointment?
Yeah, to make an appointment, you can call the ASHA scheduler, and during regular business hours, I can give the number. Yes. The number is 503-719-5000. And you call anytime, Monday through Friday, between 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. and speak to Sausage or Rainbow, and they can help people get scheduled. We're serving people both on the assigned female at birth spectrum and the assigned male at birth spectrum. And if people feel comfortable, they can mention that so we can make sure that we book them with a provider who can give them the right care. Jules and myself are both trained in the midwifery model, which means that our specialty is the assigned female at birth reproductive organs, and we want to make sure that trans women and other male assigned at birth folks get the care that's really appropriate to their bodies. And so then they would see Dr. Angela Carter because she has a much broader scope in her training of the different types of bodies she can work with.
Is there a website folks can check out?
So far, we just have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And the Equi Institute does have a website. I think it might just be equiinstitute.org, but I could be wrong. But if you Google the Equi Institute, E-Q-U-I, then you might be able to find it. And we'll probably put updates on the Equi Institute blog and on our Facebook page about upcoming clinics. And you don't need an appointment to come in and talk to Alexis and Zach from CAP. They are there being lovely, and it's just a drop-in basis to sign up for health insurance.
Wonderful. So can you tell us what the Equi Institute is?
The Equi Institute is a project between Angela Carter and a few other folks, and I'm really excited to be working in collaboration with them. And the vision is to be providing culturally appropriate and affirming healthcare to the queer community, not just trans folks, but including trans folks and intersex folks who often get excluded from services that are serving the queer, lesbian, and gay populations, and also so providing integrative healthcare and providing a place that research can actually be done about queer health, because there is a lack of research about queer health, and also act as a resource center, an advocacy group as well. So it's an exciting new project.
Yeah, very exciting. A little bit tangentially, but also timely. Do you know where the name Equi Institute comes from?
Yeah, I think so. I might get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Equi is the last name of a lesbian doctor in the early 1900s, mm-hmm. and that she was a radical and had a vision of accessible, culturally appropriate healthcare for people in general, I think, as far as I know. But I do know that she was pretty ahead of her times. And also, she was a woman doctor in the early 1900s.
Indeed. She was a radical socialist, Marie Equi, a fascinating woman, spent some good years here, spent a little bit of time in jail protesting war profiteers, mm-hmm. at the end of World War I. And it reminds me that Thursday, I think, today's the 3rd, so Thursday's the 5th, the Gay and Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest, GLAPN. They are debuting an exhibit. It's an anniversary for them, so they're having a little celebration at Q Center in the evening, 6 to 9. So, if you're interested in the kinds of research they do, head down to the Q Center for their little party. And anyway,
yeah,
I'm pretty fascinated with Marie Equi. So,
yeah, she sounds like an amazing human.
She really does sound like an amazing person.
Mm-hmm. What else is Cascade Aids Project up to that's exciting?
Besides being up to, you know, having the enrollment fair and everything else, we have also doing a few more things to do with enrollment. For example, anyone who can't make it to the fair but would like to come into CAP can still come in any time from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and just walk into our offices, and they'll be able to see someone or schedule an appointment. They'll also be entered into its own separate raffle for some more great prizes that will be similar to that. There's also coming up this Friday is our Brothers Rock event, and that will be kind of a celebration and a day for like recognition of the Black HIV Day of Awareness. And that's actually going to be a really great event. It's going to be happening in Pivot all day. And from 12 to 3, there's going to be some movies. There's going to be some games shown. And then throughout the rest of the day, there are going to kind of be other activities. People can come in. They can get tested for free, you know, as always from CAP. And it's actually going to be a really great day. Like, it's something everyone's looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And then besides that, we've also become very focused on our trans community nights that are being held once a month at the first Monday of every month. And actually, just like this last Monday here, so yesterday, we had a really amazing event that was done special for trans youths. Mm-hmm. And it was great. There was a lot of people there, a lot of excitement, you know, just having a lot of fun games, place for, you know, everyone to come in, sort of hang out, socialize. It's not just trans youth focused. We do vary the events, and we are more than happy to take anyone's opinion. The goal of these events are always just to be a social event, places people can have fun. You know, we have things planned throughout the year, like clothing swaps that will be going on, movie nights, all sorts of other things. We'll have various trans-specific nights, so there could be certain nights specific for, say, trans women, trans feminine people, as well as nights for trans masculine people. We have a lot of plans throughout the year, and if people want to keep up on that, they should look up the TCOM community nights on Facebook or the CAP website.
And those trans community nights are at Pivot?
They are at Pivot, yes, which is on 209 Southwest 4th Avenue. And you'll see the big Pivot sign, and like I said, the first Monday of every month.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
We've been referring people at the clinic to the trans community nights to get rapid HIV testing, because we have to draw people's blood. And if that's the only reason we're drawing their blood, most people would prefer to avoid a blood draw. And so at the trans community night, you can just get a little finger poke and get awesome people who can give you counseling about, you know, safer sex options and assess your risk status, mm-hmm. and get a diagnosis faster than we can with a blood draw. So we've been telling people about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is very true. Especially if you come in on the trans community night, we're actually working very hard, and we already have a couple people who are trans volunteers to be HIV testers. That way, anyone who's trans can come in and you can talk to people, you can talk about your sexual health, you can have counseling with them while you're getting an HIV test, which is completely confidential. And you just sort of have that extra safety and security and knowing you're talking to someone who understands, you know, kind of any potential thoughts, feelings you might have about your body, you know, who you don't have to worry about is being judgmental, because, you know, they're a member of the community. And it's actually a really amazing, great thing. I actually love going to the events and to being there, like, each night. And it really is going becoming a great thing. It's been taking off very well.
Wonderful. So let's remind folks about the enrollment fair.
Yes. So that enrollment fair is February 14th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Floyd's Coffee. And Floyd's Coffee is at, 118 Northwest Couch Street, or Cooch Street. Still getting used to, you know, living in Portland, as people can tell from that one. And like I said, you just want to go on Facebook, look up Love Your Health with CAP, RSVP. You'll be entered into a raffle. There's all sorts of many different great prizes we're going to have. Anyone who shows up for assistance, whether that's enrollment, renewals, or even just asking questions that they're curious about, are also going to have free refreshments, food that will be provided by Floyd's Coffee and CAP, as well as further chances to be entered in for various sort of prizes, door prizes, and gifts being given out.
Wonderful. Thanks, Alexis. And Jackson, once again, where can folks find the clinic?
You can find us on Facebook. I think it's Facebook /transhealthpdx. And you can also call Asha Integrative Wellness to make an appointment between 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. And the phone number is 503-719-5000.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, the two of you.
Yes. Thank you very much for letting us be on there.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. We'll be back with Amy Hertzfeld of Basic Rights Oregon. We're going to have a little break. 1 minute. First, I want to again suggest that folks check out what's happening with the Q Center and get involved if you're interested, or at least let your voice be heard. Go ahead and look on line or call Q Center and try and find this survey that closes on the 15th of February so that you can get your opinions in about what should happen. And I think the folks who have taken over operations of the Q Center on an interim basis have a lot to think about and a lot to do. So hopefully as a community we can be really present and also really patient, because there's a lot for them to figure out in terms of what is sustainable as a community organization and what can be done. And a reminder again, Thursday is Gay, Lesbian Archives of the Pacific Northwest. All those fabulous historians researching Marie Ekwe and other folks. in our city's history, we'll be having their anniversary party at Q Center 6 to 9 p.m. All right, we'll be back shortly. right, folks, welcome back to Out Loud here on KBOO. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Jackson and Alexis for being with us earlier. Joined now by Amy Hertzfeld with Basic Rights Oregon. Amy, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. What's your role with Basic Rights?
Sure. So I'm the Movement Building Director at Basic Rights Oregon, which is really a new and unique role that's a blend of both internal and external work. So I support a lot of the organizational development and operations and staff planning at the organization. And I also support our alliance building and our partner work to make sure that's consistent with all of our internal values around social justice.
Wonderful. It is my sense from what comes across my eyes on the web, that Basic Rights Oregon is broadening its focus to include issues of economic justice.
Yeah, certainly. And in fact, one of the things that I want to do here this evening is talk about our legislative priorities for the session. And there are a number of economic justice priorities that we can talk through. But Basic Rights Oregon has really had, I think, a movement building and a social justice lens to our LGBTQ equality work for some time. Another thing that I wanted to talk about tonight is our strategic planning, because we're really in a unique moment organizationally where we're reflecting on our victories for the last 10 years and looking at where we can go in the next five. And certainly trans and racial justice continue to be high priorities for us.
So what does that strategic planning look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just wrapping up a five-year strategic plan. And to give you a sense of what our goals were for the last 5 years, we wanted to secure the freedom to marry for all Oregonians. We wanted to prioritize transgender justice, including healthcare access and accurate gender markers on important identification documents, training for corrections, and the creation of clear policies to ensure the safety of trans folks when they're incarcerated or in legal custody. So we've made a lot of progress on those fronts. We also, as you know, have a dedicated racial justice program. That's something that's been really integral to our work to make sure that we're bringing lived equality to LGBTQ mm-hmm. folks of color who we know face higher levels of discrimination and disparities because of their identities. So no question that we've made great progress on securing the freedom to marry, obviously a big victory in May, and our trans-inclusive health care. But there's a long road ahead of us. So we recognize that marriage is just one victory in a much longer journey toward lived equality. So the strategic planning that we're undertaking now is about the next 5 years and reaching out to our community and getting their input on what makes sense, where can we be the most effective and have the greatest impact. And we've done some significant community input gathering through that process. We've actually collected input and responses from over 1,000 folks through a community survey. We also facilitated 9 listening sessions, and those were listening sessions that were targeted at communities that we seek to represent, so particularly trans folks and LGBT folks of color and LGBTQ youth. And then we also, through the community input gathering process, interviewed 61 community leaders, folks that are close to the work, folks that include elected officials, directors of other organizations, funders, key volunteers, really want to make sure that the next 5 years is informed by our base, that they're telling us what's going to be the most meaningful. And we've had some pretty amazing data that I can share with you if you'd like.
Please do.
Absolutely. So we've analyzed the data in depth with some particular attention to identity and geography. And we actually had nearly 45% of the survey respondents were from folks outside of Portland, which was really thrilling to us. And there's, you know, across lines of identity and geography, there's been really, really clear feedback about where Basic Rights Oregon needs to head. Folks have also been really clear with us that we need to continue to build political power. Almost all the feedback indicated that folks see Basic Rights Oregon as a political organization, that we are strong as an organization that works on policy and legislation, that we can should continue to build political power. There was a lot of messaging like, keep doing what you're doing, but do even more of it. So certainly our work in the legislature, our work to elect pro-equality candidates, our work to build political power through issue campaigns, that's all going to continue. So that's been really exciting to hear. We also heard from the community input that we need to deepen our focus on the most marginalized LGBTQ Oregonians. So we're known for our political work, obviously, but as I shared in recent years, we've also become known for our racial justice and trans justice work. And there was very clear feedback that we need to center two additional constituencies, LGBTQ youth, as well as folks living outside of Portland, that those are two areas where we really need to build out more robust programming and more advocacy for those communities.
Wonderful. Has the information gathering, is that stage of it over?
It is, yeah. We had surveys out there through a number of vehicles. We had them online. We were also bringing them to various events in person and even doing it some of it through a door-to-door canvas. So the survey was live for several months through the fall, and we collected, as I said, over 1,000 responses, which exceeded our goal and we felt like was a good number for us to be able to dig into figuring out what the community needs from us.
Is Basic Rights Oregon going to sort of launch or introduce the strategic plan for the next 5 years? Is that a marker that will happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you asked. So we're wrapping up our planning process, and our board and staff have evaluated the data, and we plan to be able to release a strategic plan to the community, to the public, this spring. We don't want that to be more than, you know, a few pages that really highlights what our top line goals are for the next 5 years. You know, we know that we're going to want to continue to focus on racial and trans justice work, that we'll want to advocate more for youth issues, particularly youth of color and trans youth who are disproportionately impacted by injustice, and that we just want to work more statewide outside of Portland and in rural communities where the experiences of queer folks are so different. So yes, we'll do a big launch. You know that Basic Rights Oregon has a strong social media and email presence, so there will be lots to share with the community.
Wonderful. It reminds me that our show on the 24th of this month will be turned over to LGBTQ youth. I don't know much more about it than that, but I'm very excited to see what folks bring to that conversation. So let's talk a bit about the policy priorities that Basic Rights Oregon is focusing on.
Yeah, absolutely. So the legislative session started this week. We've always had a strong presence in Salem, and we know that there are a number of bills that we're going to be active on, and I'm excited to preview those with you. There will also be opportunities for our supporters to get involved, for folks to volunteer. We'll be launching campaigns so folks can interact directly with legislators to talk about these issues. So let's dig in. There are actually three issues that Basic Rights Oregon is going to be a lead sponsor on during the session. The first is called the Youth Mental Health Protection Act. It's an act which would prohibit licensed professional mental health care providers from doing what is known as conversion therapy, but we know it to be a very dangerous and discredited practice. And we want to ban licensed healthcare professionals in Oregon from doing conversion therapy on minors. And similar legislation has passed in California.
Wonderful. In a bizarre coincidence, I'm having an email dialogue with the head of the Republican Party in Texas about conversion therapy, because it's the party has a pro conversion therapy platform. Ugh. And this gentleman opposes it. I remember this conversation entirely by like an email accident. He emailed me by complete, you know, clearly didn't know who I was, sent me an email, and I said, Do you want to explain yourself? Anyway, it's kind of an interesting thing. So the aim of this is to ban conversion therapy in the state. Is that right?
To ban the practice of it by licensed mental health care professionals. To ban the practice of it on youth.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're in the process of collecting stories from folks, people who've had experiences with conversion therapy in their youth. We want to make sure that we're bringing those stories to the fore, and we'll be launching a really neat social media campaign for folks to be able to share those stories. So another issue that we're going to be working hard on this session is to increase the minimum wage. You talked a little bit about economic justice. Mm-hmm. We work in coalition with a number of different progressive organizations, including labor unions. We're very active in the Fair Shot Coalition, which is a coalition of several progressive groups that cross racial and gender justice priorities. We want to raise the minimum wage, of course. We know that the minimum wage was intended to be a minimum living wage, but it's not, and that's hurting families. So there are a few minimum wage bills that we'll be watching, but certainly that's a priority for us. Another economic justice legislative priority for us this session is earned sick days. You're probably familiar with the Earn Sick Days campaign with the city of Portland that was so successful. There's going to be a legislative campaign this year that we're really happy to be a part of. We know that 40% of private sector workers don't earn sick days, and 80% of low-income workers have no sick days from their job. And we know every one of us gets sick, and we all need the opportunity to take care of ourselves and our family and have that be job protected. So that's certainly vital to economic security, especially for folks who are impacted by injustice, like communities of color. So that's a big priority for us. Another thing that we'll be working on in partnership with others is to end profiling. We're going to be supporting legislation led by the Center for Intercultural Organizing that would actually require Oregon's law enforcement agencies to train their officers on how to avoid profiling. There are a number of bills that are going to be working to this end, and this is something that's particularly important to Basic Rights Oregon, because we know as LGBTQ folks that we've experienced profiling and targeting by the police for many, many years. And we understand how unfair that can be. And we want to make sure that our law enforcement has the tools they need to do better.
Wonderful. That's a lot of really great work. So for the end profiling campaign, the hope is that it would require law enforcement agencies to train their officers to avoid profiling.
Yes, that's my understanding. That's the primary aim. I think that it would have some other objectives too, including maybe some opportunities for folks who've been the victim of profiling to seek justice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are even more bills if you'd like me to go further.
Absolutely.
Okay. So another bill that we'll be working on that's led by the Urban League is known as Ban the Box. This was also a city campaign and now has a statewide bill. And this would ban the use of that box on employment applications that asks if you've been previously charged with a felony or incarcerated. And we know that LGBTQ folks of color, particularly trans folks, are unfairly targeted by law enforcement, and as a result, often disproportionately make up the people who are incarcerated. And that little box can be a barrier to, basic education, or excuse me, basic employment and housing. So that's something that's important to us too. And then we'll also be working with the Oregon Student Association on an accurate data collection bill. This is really exciting to us. It's a pretty simple bill that would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of demographic data that's already collected by public universities and community colleges. Will give us a more clear picture of the numbers in our community, so we can really demonstrate to lawmakers what our community needs.
I know that in health surveys conducted by the state, it's been particularly difficult to tease out population-wide health statistics for queer folks, and they're just beginning to have enough folks identifying as lesbian or gay or bisexual. I think those are the categories they're working with now, to be able to speak to health statistics for folks in the state in general. So it's exciting to be able to turn some facts of our lives, some experiences of our lives, into numbers that we can use for policy. I think that's been a challenge for a long time, to always put your finger on who's who and how they identify, and to be able to be able to put that on paper a little bit better is a nice thing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's so powerful to be able to demonstrate to lawmakers, you know, the breadth of our community and what our needs are. And finally, the other legislative priority we'll have this session is updating and modernizing Oregon's marriage statutes to reflect the big win we had in May, you know, striking down Oregon's constitutional provision that banned same-sex marriage. So we need to actually update the state statutes now to reflect gender-neutral contracts between two partners and also phase out Oregon's domestic partnerships, which are obsolete now.
Are there folks who are still domestically partnered? I suppose that's still a legal category.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really the final step in our marriage victory to sort of seal the deal administratively. Washington, for example, when they had their marriage win, they looked at some policy where folks who had domestic partnership received notification that that they would be transferred to a married status and would have an opportunity to opt out if they chose to. So we're looking at options like that.
Interesting. That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of the final step in our victory.
And a challenge for folks who are in those domestic partnerships to say, are we ready to be married?
Yeah, it's certainly a conversation that is unique to every couple.
Mm-hmm. Now, Basic Rights Oregon has an exciting open house coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. So we have an open house coming up on Tuesday, February 17th, and it's really an opportunity for our volunteers and supporters to come learn about our work more, plug into the legislative session. Again, we'll have a number of opportunities for folks to be active in Salem and participate in lobby days, participate in various issue education campaigns for lawmakers. So we want folks to hear about those. We always want people to come on down and meet our staff and see our space and be a part of our larger activist community. So again, that's on Tuesday, February 17th. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. Dinner will be provided. It's in our building, which is at 310 Southwest 4th, Suite 300. It's a accessible building downtown, close to a lot of transit. And there's an online RSVP. We are asking folks to register online, so we get a sense of the members. Of course, it's free. And people can RSVP online, people can webpage, rsvp.org, or through our Facebook page, which is, or through our facebook.com/basicrights.com.
I went to an open house. I went to your open house last year, and it was great to your open house last year. It was great to meet the staff. And put some faces to a lot of names I've heard, you know, over the years in the community. And also the snacks were great.
Yes. Good. Yeah, we like to make folks comfortable and provide food, of course, but we have a really vibrant organizing team. Basic Rights Oregon always, I think, has very, very sharp staff. So it's fun to connect with folks, and our organizers are working really hard to make it a special night for folks.
Now, if folks want to get involved in, there's a number of things that BRO is doing that folks could get involved in. If they wanted to get involved in the racial justice program, if they wanted to get involved in the trans justice program, if they wanted to aid in advocacy work, how would that happen? What would that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a big staff and are really responsive. So we often, as you imagine, get emails and calls from folks who want to get involved, want to learn more about some of our specific programming. So I'd say folks shouldn't hesitate at all to first take a look at our website, look at the staff listing based on the title, see if there's someone that that jumps out to you, and just shoot an email. I will tell you that our organizing director is Court Morse, and Court's a good person to contact about the legislative session as well as our racial justice program. And our policy director is Nico Quintana, and Nico is a great person to reach out to get more involved in our policy work, particularly our trans justice work.
A lot of these initiatives. I mean, I think everything that we talked about is statewide. Is there anything that Basic Rights Oregon is focusing on in Portland proper at the moment? Is there anything that sort of jumps out that the city should be doing and isn't, or vice versa?
Sure. So we are a statewide organization, although our only office is in Portland. So we tend to have organizational partnerships, and our staff resources and investment is, you know, pretty focused on the metro area, mm-hmm. I would say. And that's one of the components of feedback from the strategic plan, that we need to be, bringing our resources and our attention to areas outside of the metro area. But we're involved in any number of coalitions that I think focus on Portland-specific work. One that comes to mind right away is the Albina Ministerial Alliance and Police mm-hmm. Accountability, that's very Portland-focused.
Yeah. And if folks are interested in the Albina Ministerial Alliance, they meet monthly in Inner Northeast Portland. There's some great folks, and they're doing some really great work on police accountability right now. There's some fascinating work and some really exciting work in that area, not just by AMA, but some other folks as well. Don't Shoot PDX. And there's a lot of good stuff going around right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else is BR up to?
Well, I mean, as I shared, it's been a hell of a decade and a hell of a last year. We've made a lot of progress, winning comprehensive non-discrimination laws, passing laws for safer schools, securing the freedom to marry, improving access to healthcare for transgender folks. What we know now is that there's just so much more to do, and our work is as vital and urgent as ever. So we keep going. The road to lived equality is still long for many queer Oregonians, particularly immigrants, people of color, folks who live outside of Portland, youth, trans folks, and seniors. So we're moving into the next chapter of our work, and we're going to be focusing on lifting up the most marginalized members of our community and making sure that our coalition work and our values-driven work reflects that.
Wonderful. And if there's one last thought that you'd like to leave listeners with today, what would it be?
Really want to encourage folks to check out our open house, mm-hmm. and to reach out to Basic Rights Org. And if you have ideas about how we can be doing our work better, this is our sort of moment as we're crafting the next 5 years to make sure that our vision is rooted in what our community needs.
Wonderful. So the open house is on the 17th. 6 to 9 p.m., dinner provided, staff on hand, lots of information will be available. What's the address of Basic Rights Oregon's office again?
310 Southwest 4th. Mm-hmm. So we're on 4th between Oak and Stark, actually a block away from Pivot. I know, your guest from the last half of the program.
And you're on the third floor. It should be exciting to see what comes out of this legislative session. We've got more Democrats in the state House and Senate than there's been in quite a while.
That's right. It's a big session. We have an even larger majority in the House and Senate than we did in the last cycle. You know, Basic Rights Oregon has an equality PAC that also works to elect pro-equality candidates. So there are a number of folks that were priority candidate races for us that are now in positions in the House and Senate. And as you know, there are a lot of progressive organizations that are bringing.
Indeed. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting. How long does the session run?
So I know the session, you're stumping the non-policy person through June, I think.
Through June.
So folks should check. Yeah. But this is a full session for the state legislature.
Yeah. But it's a quick run. They have to pack in quite a bit of policy decisions. So there's lots of legislative days where folks are sort of bused down to Salem and you get to lobby for your particular issues.
Yeah, we'll absolutely have dedicated lobby days for Basic Rights Oregon. People can learn about that at the open house. We'll make sure that we're sharing out the date of our conversion therapy hearing. Mm-hmm. And we'll also have designated lobby days throughout March.
Wonderful. So the open house is on the 17th, and we are looking forward to hearing a little bit later this year Basic Rights Oregon's priorities and plans for the next 5 years. Are you ready? Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Amy.